Thank you, guys. If you've got children, or if you're young at heart and find the next 3 hours of me speaking is too long, there are activity sheets down on the back table there, so you can just go and help yourself. How many of you know what I mean when I say that sometimes God sneaks up on you? Well, he did to me during worship this morning. I love concentrating on God when I'm worshiping through song, and this morning I get a picture of Wade in my head, and that's sort of disturbing. And he wouldn't go away. So I had to ask why, and I believe that God's given me a message for you, Wade. So we'll just get into it, eh? What I saw was you standing there and Jesus coming with an envelope, and he handed it to you. Anita was with you, but he handed it to you, and you were like a little excited kid at Christmas because you know and knew that Jesus was giving you an invitation. And then he vanished, and like any kid, no respect to the envelope, out it came, and you opened up, and the card was blank. And yet, because of the faith inside of you, you were still excited because you knew that it had come from Jesus, and so you knew the invitation was good. And in a way, I think the blank page signifies the fact that you know that there is a call of God on your life, but you haven't gone and displayed it to everybody. You haven't been talking about it. You've hidden it. And so the blank page talks about this hiddenness in Christ in your heart. And because of that, that's why the invitation is coming now. But what you probably don't realize is that on the page, there's a sneaky little trick that I learned when I was a little kid. If you write in lemon juice, then it's invisible. But when you put the page over heat, it comes out. And I believe that God is this year going to take and put some heat on you. And it's not something to be scared of. It's something to rejoice and embrace, because as the heat comes on, so his word to you will become very clear. And so it's only through the heat of... He is the consuming fire. It's about an invitation to come right into who God is. And in that heat and in that moment of getting to know who he is, this heat will start to develop the words on the invitation of what exactly he is calling you into. And I think the heat actually comes, and I know this sounds like an oxymoron, it comes out of the river of God. And excuse the pun, but I think the two of you have waded in the river of God. And his invitation is, look, just grab the rope, swing, and land in it. And most people, they think this much is enough. And God's invitation to you is, why don't you just drown in me? Completely and utterly drown in me. And when I see the two of you come out of the river of God, which is the heat of God, not only will there be displayed exactly where you're going and what you're doing and what your call is and what your anointing is, because you're a man who is looking for, how do I become an influence in the kingdom of God? He will come and he will wrap what looks like a towel around you to dry you off, but it's actually a flag. And there are two sides to this flag, and one is a description of who you two are in him, and the other side is the people that you will go to. That's it. Can we have our worship team back up now? Because I'd like to worship God. No, I did in the middle of all that. This is our series. I have a confession to make. This is sermon. This isn't prophecy now. Usually in November of every year, I sneak away for a silent retreat by myself, making a lot of noise. And I usually go away for 3 days by myself into a little cabin or a batch or somewhere. And I work out the preaching plan for the next year. And it's usually pretty solid all the way through. And I like to be prepared because the Holy Spirit works spontaneously as well as through good preparation. And this year, I just didn't manage it. And I went into my Christmas holiday panicking a bit because it was like, what about the preaching plan, God? We haven't done it. We haven't done it. And he kept saying, don't panic. It's like, but, no. And then I handed the first 3 weeks from Christmas Day to Mark, and he came up with this theme, I am. And so Mark has done, I am the light of the world. I am the bread. And last week, I am the door. And I sat here last week thinking, man, this is really prophetic. This is for us as a church. I am the door. Jesus is the way through and into the abundant life that he has for us for this year. And so I'm really excited about that. But the more I started thinking, the more I realized that this is a huge topic. And there are 7 specific times where Jesus said, I am. And so all of a sudden, Mark has written my preaching plan for me. And we're going to keep following this theme of I am. I think Mark thinks that we're going to do these 7 specific things when Jesus said, I am. But today, I'm going to be a little bit sneaky and pick out a different one. Jesus is coming off the mountainside. What was he doing up the mountainside? Praying. He's the Son of God, praying to his Father, taking time out. He knew that the relationship that he had with the Father was what was going to sustain him in his ministry. And so he had spent some time up the mountainside praying, and he came down, and there's large crowds followed him, and a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Really interesting, because the man with leprosy shouldn't have been there with a big crowd anyway. But he's a man of incredible faith. He pushes probably through the crowd, and he comes and he kneels before Jesus, and he says these incredible words, Lord, if you are willing, knowing that God could do it, knowing that Jesus could do it, with an absolute, the only thing in his mind that would stop this from being a miraculous cleansing was whether Jesus was willing or wasn't willing. And so here's this man, and he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You get a picture of it? A crowd, Jesus, the leper kneeling on the ground. An act of humility before Jesus. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man, which shouldn't have happened either, because he was unclean, and said, I am willing. I am willing. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door that you enter to get abundant life. And I am willing. Be clean. 2 very simple words. Be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. I've been sitting with this while riding horses up Bailey's Beach and swimming at Matapuri Bay. I am willing. What is it that we come to Jesus with for this year, at the beginning of this year? It may be the need for healing. It may be something else. But do we find in ourselves this unshakable knowledge that he can, if he's willing? And do we have the courage to come to him and kneel and ask him? What is it If I went round, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to force introverts to do non-introvert things like Mark did last week. I'm not going to put mosquito jokes up either, although there are some good ones on the internet. But if I took the mic and came around each one of you, what is it that, what's this question, what's this pressing need that you have? Not just a fancy want, like the farm I saw for sale up just behind McLeod's Bay. Want, fantasy. What's the need that you bring before Jesus? And I want to suggest to you that this year is the year where God says to you, I am. I am. I am the one that brings abundant life. I am the one that brings you bread. I am the one that brings you light, and I am willing. In Luke 18, we find a story. A certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Here's another man coming with his need to Jesus. What is it? He knew something was missing. He's a good guy. We go on to read, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't pervert the neighbor's wife," and all the rest of it. And this guy says, "I've kept every one of those since I was a little boy." In other words, I'm good. I'm really, really good. In fact, I'm so good that I'm one of the best. But underneath all the knowledge that I have of myself that I am really, really good, I know something is missing because I don't have the assurance of eternal life. See, the law is not enough. Being good is not enough. Yes, good people go to hell because being good is not salvation. It's through Jesus who is the door. And so here's this guy coming to him, knowing and admitting, being self-aware enough inside to admitting, "Jesus, something's not right here with me because I don't have eternal life. And yet I've been good. I've done all these things, but I know that eternal life isn't mine. I've done these things since I was a boy. What is it that I need?" And Jesus, hearing this, says, "You lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Wonderful. Easy. Easy peasy, done. Except when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." What was Jesus really asking of this young rich man? What was Jesus inviting him to? Because we concentrate on the fact that he was rich and his riches stopped him from coming. And sometimes I think that's as far as we go in our minds. But I think that Jesus was inviting him to something. He was inviting him into through the door. What is it that Jesus was asking of this young man? He was inviting him to participate in the goodness of God. God as his provider. He invited him through the door of Jesus into abundant life. In other words, he was inviting this young guy to let go of everything he knew and start a journey of faith. That's what he was asking him. Don't rely on anything, you rely on me. And I wonder whether that's us. We rely on all our knowledge, we rely on our history, we know too much. And we come to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Nah, blank sheet. Get rid of all of that. Come to me." But Jesus, no, trust me. Trust me. I believe he's inviting our church to start a journey of faith, which is beyond what we think we should be doing. Hebrews 11:16, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." If we've got it all worked out, if we know exactly what we're doing, if we know where all our abundance is coming from, it's not faith. It's just normal life. I've been reflecting on years back, like 7 years ago, Charles Hewlett came. He was at that stage the principal of the Baptist College. And his whole message was, risk big things for God. Because it says, is the I am that we believe is true? We sang about it, I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is this God that we believe in, is he really the I am? I am the provider. I am willing. I am all you need, or is he not? And sometimes we try to concrete everything down, and God's saying, actually, I want you to move in faith. And faith is what we do not see. It's not tangible. I can remember when we were, I think I've said it before, We were contemplating going over to the United States for a year. And we had to sell our property. And a lady in the church who'd been praying all night for us rang me up in the morning and said, "I think you need to buy your airline tickets." And I said, "But that's crazy, we haven't sold our property." "No, I believe God is asking you in faith to buy your airline tickets. Because you're going." And so we did. And back then, I mean, that's $5,000-$6,000. Of money that we didn't have. And we hadn't even sold our property. Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith for all of us so often is spelt R-I-S-K. So here's a man who's coming just like the guy with leprosy did, with a huge need. And I believe that Jesus is saying the same thing. I'm willing. Are you? I'm willing to supply all your needs. Are you willing to let go? I'm willing to be your God. I'm willing to allow you to follow me. But to do that, you need to let go. I am willing, says Jesus. In John 8, this incredible story, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, trying to trap him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" Actually, the law of Moses said that if you catch someone in the act of adultery, you bring them both, the man and the woman. But they had just bought the woman. Was Jesus willing to help this woman? What was her need? What was her real need? They were using this question to trap him in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus. Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Which would be the fulfillment of the law. Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said, "and neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. And in the beautiful little phrase, "then neither do I condemn you," Jesus offers her something way beyond what she ever thought she was going to get. A gracious God who is offering forgiveness because he is willing to do so. The first story, a man who had a disease came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "I am willing." The second man comes in all the wealth and trappings. And Jesus says, I'm willing to be your God. But you need to get rid of the other God. And in the last one, we see this woman who had obviously living a certain lifestyle. And she is dragged to him. And yet his graciousness still comes to that point where he says, "I'm willing not to enforce the law, but I'm willing to offer you grace and forgiveness." Who do you relate to? Do you need healing? Is that the thing that's pressing on your mind as you start into this year? God, if only. Then today I believe that God is saying to you, "I am willing." Do you know him? Are you a follower of Jesus? Or have you just been looking at it? Do you have this question, "I know that I'm not completely living within eternal life. I am not saved. I don't follow Jesus." Is that your question that you come today and you're saying, "Well, actually, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a follower, but there's something niggling inside because I know that this is what is supposed to, I'm supposed to respond to." Well, today it's your day to let go everything of your past and to come to Jesus Christ and bow your knee and humble yourself. And say yes to the God who is willing to forgive you of all your wrong and accept you into his family. Or are you someone who is burdened by things of the past? Are you burdened to the point where you're scared that if someone really knew what you'd got up to in the past, then you would be judged. And they would have right to judge you. Well, today is a day when, if you want to come to Jesus, he is willing to wash you clean of all of that. And he will say to you, I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more. I'm going to ask Gary to just put on some very quiet music. And I want you to contemplate on the question that you would come if Jesus was standing here, and I believe he is here. What's the question you'd ask them? What's the need that's sitting on your heart? What's the thing that plagues your mind? And so often when we come to Jesus, we want it on our own terms. Jesus, here I am by myself in my bedroom having a time with you. No one else is here because I don't want anybody else involved in this. I just want it between you and me because that's safe. And so we make these rules about our engagement with the King of Heaven. But today is different because he is asking you to stand up and come to the front. Because we are, whether we like it or not, part of a community. And God moves through other people. So you can take your need home with you and keep asking Jesus in private. And sometimes he does it in private. But I found so often that Jesus comes through so that he can display his glory in front of everybody. And we can all marvel at how good our God is. So just for a while, as this music plays, if you've got that question in your mind and you're wanting to hear the words from Jesus, I am willing, then I just ask that you'd come and stand at the front and we'll pray for you. It can be salvation, it can be healing, it can be cleansing from the things of the past, it can be anything you like, it could be provision. But if you want prayer for that, then I invite you forward. So we'll just listen to this for a bit, and then I'll close.